There is a verse in the Bible which describes kissing. The type of kiss that's described is a good kiss, a really good kiss. Back in the Old Testament, the book of Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon 7, verse 9, a good kiss is described as a wine, the best wine. And that best wine is described as just gently flowing over the lips and teeth. It's an interesting illustration, and I begin with this passage because it is an illustration for the word gentleness, a word or an idea that's associated with elders. 2 weeks ago, if you were here, we studied the idea of gentleness in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, and Titus chapter 1, verse 7. This is one of the qualities associated with elders. Paul, as he begins to go through, as he enumerates those qualities in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, he says that elders are not to be strikers. Elders are not to be people who hit others. In contrast to being a striker, in contrast to being a hitter, Paul says, but gentle. That quality of gentleness may seem to be one that's easy to understand, but how do we explain it? When we talk about a person being a gentle person, a gentle man, a gentle woman, what are we trying to say? What's that mean? Well, in the Old Testament, thankfully, the Bible illustrates the quality of gentleness. In Song of Solomon 7, verse 9, gentleness is described as a great kiss. Not every kiss may be gentle, but it is possible to have or experience a gentle kiss. In another book, the book of Isaiah, gentleness is illustrated by a stream of water. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 6, here Isaiah talks about waters that go softly, waters that move gently. Some here have stood beside still waters. Maybe it was a babbling brook. Maybe we were on vacation and we were in a place where there was a waterfall, a small waterfall, not like Niagara Falls. And that small waterfall was a gentle waterfall. If you've ever been in that kind of place, gentle waterfalls or gentle waters, soft waters, are usually pleasant waters. Imagine an elder. As you deal with him or perhaps a person in general, that person is gentle. The behavior of that individual is like a gentle kiss. The actions of that individual are like gentle waters, soft waters. Such a person is typically a joy to talk to. Such a person offers company that is usually quite pleasurable. In another book, 2 Samuel chapter 18, we have some information about David. David had some children, and one of his children was a boy by the name of Absalom. And Absalom had some issues with dad, or dad had some issues with Absalom. You can look at it both ways. Absalom, at one point, tried to use flattery to win favor with the people of Israel and had some success with that. And there came a time where Absalom had to be dealt with. And David, as he talked about how Absalom needed to be dealt with, he said, I want you to treat my son gently. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. I find that passage to also be instructive, and this is not limited to elders. But as elders deal with people, they're going to be put into situations, just as a parent or someone else might be put into, but they're going to be put into a situation where someone will hurt them. Maybe the pain that's inflicted on an elder will be intentional. Maybe it will be pain that's inflicted accidentally. But like parents, like others, elders will be put into a situation which is not pleasant, which is not comfortable, and they will somehow react to that situation. When it comes to elders, and I think all people generally, but certainly in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, when it comes to elders, Paul said, don't be a striker. Don't go and hit people for something like a verbal attack or verbal assault. Rather than go on the attack, Paul says the elder is to deal gently. One more quick illustration about gently and what the Bible says, or an illustration. This one, if you have the sheet, comes from the book of Job, Job chapter 41. Now back in the latter part of Job, Job 41, we read about a strange creature. This creature is described as Leviathan. There have been a lot of suggestions about what Leviathan was, but at the end of the day, we simply don't know. People have made a lot of guesses, and maybe that creature is no longer on the earth. But whatever Leviathan was, Job was familiar with it, and it's clear that Job and others did not want to tangle with it. Back in Job 41, verse 3, this ferocious creature, God uses him and asks Job, would you like to say soft words to Leviathan? Would you like to use gentle words when it comes to Leviathan? Well, the implied answer to that question is absolutely not. Imagine meeting up with one of the fiercest creatures on our planet. And maybe for this morning's illustration, think about a great white. You're in the water. Or maybe you're in the water and you're on a small boat. Now, great white, if you've not looked at these creatures in a while, they can be over 20 feet long. A great white can weigh more than 7,000 pounds. And here is this great white with the mouth open swimming towards you on your little boat. Maybe you're on a surfboard. Would you be wanting to use gentle words as the great white is swimming towards you? Well, probably not. And that's God's illustration about Leviathan when it comes to Job in Job chapter 41. So when it comes to the idea of gentleness, when we start in the Old Testament, the Bible illustrates this quality in numerous ways. But then, in addition to giving us illustrations for what gentleness is, the Bible shows us that gentleness is practical. Back in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15 and verse 1, the Bible says that a soft answer, a gentle answer is helpful because oftentimes it can turn away wrath. Another proverb, 25 verse 15. The power of gentleness is so great, the Bible says a soft tongue, a gentle tongue is capable of breaking a bone. Not literally, but that statement is simply a way of saying that gentleness is a great quality. It is a powerful characteristic. It can do some magnificent things. One of the great things about gentleness is that oftentimes it involves some form of yielding to one another. That's not typically what we find in our world. In today's society, people say, I'm not going to yield to you. I'm not going to be gentle. I'm going to get my way by being rough. I'm going to steamroll you. I'm going to push you. I'm going to press you. I'm going to put you in a position where you will finally conform to my will. That's not what the Bible teaches when it comes to gentleness or behavior in general. In another Old Testament book, this is the prophet Jeremiah, and this is the only passage I'm going to read today, but it's from the 11th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 19 is once more a passage we'll read about gentleness. Jeremiah goes back to the image of a lamb that's about to be slaughtered. If we were going to be led away to be murdered, slaughtered, hurt in a very bad way, and the end result was going to be our death, we probably would be involved with some kind of protest. We might be shouting, I'm innocent. We might be hollering, my death is unfair. It's unjust. We have rights. Here's what God's prophet said. Verse 19, Jeremiah 11. But I was like a gentle lamb. That's how Jeremiah said he was like. I was like a gentle lamb that's led to the slaughter. And I knew not that they devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name they may be no more remembered. Jeremiah was the object of a plot. He was someone who had some enemies. There were some people who wanted to kill him. And the people not only wanted to destroy God's prophet, but they wanted the words that he was speaking to simply be forgotten. If we ever serve as an elder, we may feel at times a bit like Jeremiah. There have been elders who have found that as they've tried to live the right kind of life and serve in a local congregation, they've had to deal with people who are anything but gentle. There have been congregations where entire elderships have been overthrown, or at least there's been an attempt to overthrow an entire congregation. And that's a challenging thing to deal with. But as we see from Jeremiah chapter 11, God's servants need to be filled with gentleness. I need to put in kind of a footnote here. Gentleness does not mean weakness. I think for a lot of people, if a man, in their estimation, is a gentle man, he's weak, he's spineless, he doesn't have any kind of backbone. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jeremiah, if you read through that book, he was by no means a weak man or a weak preacher. He's a very strong man, but still gentle. We've often had, before we observe the Lord's Supper, Isaiah chapter 53 read. When you look at Isaiah chapter 53 and you read about Jesus, or you hear what's said about Jesus, you find the Lord being portrayed as a gentle man. But there's no weakness in that. Think back to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, a verse we've had read here many times. He was oppressed. Yet in describing Jesus, when he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth. The Bible says that Jesus was a lamb that's led to the slaughter. As a sheep before its shears is dumb. So that's the way Jesus behaved. He was gentle. Truly strong people are gentle people. That's not what the world often believes. That's usually not the way that the world thinks and reasons, but that's right. All of God's true servants, his great servants, lead gently. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Now, we've looked at thus far, especially from the Old Testament, some of the illustrations for gentleness. We've seen some other items which talk about gentleness from a practical standpoint. So let's, keeping in mind what we're studying, that is elders, let's turn to the second part of the Bible, the New Testament, and see what we find when it comes to gentleness. One of the first things that we find is that a study of Jesus Christ tells us that the Lord is a gentle person. Now, we've already seen that hinted at in Isaiah 53, verse 7. But in the New Testament, we begin as we look at Jesus and we start to study how the Lord described himself. We find Jesus specifically referring to himself as a gentle man. The Lord could have surely described himself in dozens of ways, maybe hundreds of ways. But do you know that one of the specific ways that Jesus described himself was by gentleness? And it's in a passage that's familiar to most people. Back there in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus there said, "Take my yoke upon you." Why? "For I am meek and lowly." That is, I am gentle. If you have the New King James Translation, you'll see the word gentle used in Matthew 11, verse 29. If you have the New American Standard Translation, or perhaps some other versions, you'll also see the word gentle. Question: if the head of the church is gentle, Matthew 11, verse 29, what should his people be like? What should leaders in a local congregation be like? Should they also not be like the chief shepherd? Should they, if Jesus is gentle, should they also not show the quality of gentleness? Absolutely. That quality of gentleness needs to be in the local eldership, but it also needs to be instilled in all of the people who are being led by the elders. Yet in a lot of congregations in the past, in the present, and if the Lord will, surely in the future, wills in the sense that man continues to live on this planet, gentleness will be lacking as it has been in the past. One of the things that we see when we look at the congregation at Corinth is that gentleness was lacking. Imagine suing one another. Imagine looking across the auditorium today and thinking, "I'm in a lawsuit with him, her, and them." That doesn't sound like very gentle behavior in a local congregation to me. Imagine a congregation, and you see this about midway through the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Conscientious objections were not being taken into consideration. There was a lack of gentleness. The lack of gentleness was so great that there was a division in the congregation, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and Christians were very rude to one another, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As Paul deals with this group of people, he makes an appeal to them in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. He says, "I appeal to you in the gentleness of Christ." You're not showing it, but there's an example of it, and that's Christ. And he says, "I'm appealing to you, I'm begging you to get on the right track." Now, thus far in today's lesson, we've primarily tried to link gentleness with elders. But let's take this a step further. And based on 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, see there from that passage that gentleness is something that goes beyond elders. Prior to this morning's lesson, I have argued, and I'm going to continue to argue, that virtually every quality associated with elders, aside from the family qualities, virtually every quality should be possessed by virtually every Christian. Now, a person may not in the younger years possess some of these qualities to the same degree that they have them in the later years. But when we talk about elders, aside from the family qualities, we're really dealing with what it means to be a Christian. The qualities are pretty much universal. If we're a Christian, as we go through our daily lives, do we show, do we display, do we reflect gentleness? And do we reflect that gentleness, do we display that gentleness in virtually every aspect of our life? I have more than 2,000 contacts on Facebook. But of those 2,000 or so contacts, I only know a handful of those people. Maybe 100 of the people. I'm not sure. I've never done an exact count. Most of my Facebook work is automated. It's posted elsewhere and ends up automatically on Facebook to hopefully drop some e-seeds of the gospel. I will tell you this, though, that 1,900 or so people that I don't know, as I skim through those posts, several of them are members of the church in other places, but as I skim through many of those posts, one of the things that I don't often see is gentleness. I see some posts that are sometimes crude, and if they get too bad, I just hide them from the timeline. But I see, as I look at Facebook, a lot of posts which, instead of that gentle brook that we talked about from the Old Testament, instead of that gentle kiss, instead of those gentle words with Leviathan, I'll tell you what I see. And probably, as far as the majority, this is what I see. Posts that are more like a raging river. Not much gentleness there, at least in my feed. Instead of soft words that we've seen earlier with Leviathan, I oftentimes find fighting words. I'll go get them. I'll take care of them. I'll take him out. And sometimes even from people who profess to be Christians. As God's people, one of the things that we should show or display or reflect on a regular basis is gentleness. Now somebody says, well, where are you getting that from the Bible? Well, how about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Paul talked about it. Paul, as he reminds the Thessalonians about the work that had been done at that congregation previously, he says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, he said, "But we were gentle in the midst of you." When we came, think back, we weren't rough, we weren't callous. We tried to be gentle. Then he gives an illustration. He says, as a nurse cherishes her children. The image is a woman who has a hungry baby. Imagine a lady being in that situation. She has a hungry child. Child needs to be fed. And the mom doesn't show any gentleness. The child is perhaps a month old. Child makes it clear that he or she wants food. And the mom screams, or the caregiver screams, "Shut up! I don't want to hear it. Quiet!" Child doesn't quiet down. Child still hungry, screams more for food. And then the caregiver slaps the child. That happens. Can you imagine treating a one-month-old or two-month-old in that kind of way? It occurs. It's not gentleness, but it occurs. Somebody says, "Well, that's wrong, that's bad." Yes, it is. But what happens 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 years later? Oh, now we're not dealing with an infant. Now we're dealing with an older child, maybe an adult. Do we now think that because several years have passed that it's now okay to be rough and brutal instead of gentle? Age doesn't diminish. Age doesn't remove the need to still be gentle. Yet as we look at Facebook, as we look at the interactions with people, in our day and time, gentleness is one of the things that we simply don't need. Whether it's on the job, whether it's in the home, whether it's in school, whether it's in the neighborhood, whether we're dealing with one or two people, or whether we're dealing with 1,000, gentleness is still needed. That quality should be in our hearts, it should be on our lips, and it should be expressed by our actions. When we look at the Bible, especially the New Testament, the quality of gentleness is a quality that we are encouraged to have, a quality that we are encouraged to use and practice, certainly in the church. Gentleness should be something that abounds. Going back to the Corinthians, Paul asked them a question in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 21. He said, "I'm coming." And he said, "When I come, do you want me to show up with a whip? Do you want me to show up with a rod and deal with things in that way? Or," Paul said, "should I show up with a spirit of gentleness?" He said, "I want to come with a spirit of gentleness. That's my desire. And if you're not going to let me do that, then we're going to have to use stiffer measures, and I'm prepared to do that." But Paul said, "My choice is gentleness." Will you respond? Will you act in a way where that's possible? In another book written by Paul, Galatians, the Apostle Paul talked about wayward members. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "If any man's overtaken in a trespass," you have a Christian who's fallen into sin. Paul said, in that case, don't let the person drift off into the world. Don't let him go. But Paul said, "I want you to reach out and I want you to try to restore that man." And then Paul gives a little additional information. He says, as you try to restore that man, don't go over to his house. Don't break down his door. And don't beat him up till he repents. Paul said, "I want you to restore that man in gentleness. I want you to go over there and I want you to use Christian kindness to try to restore him." That's consistent with what Paul told a young preacher. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. "The Lord's servant must not strive, but be gentle towards all." What about the people who frustrate us? What about the people who make us mad? What about the people who aggravate us? Be gentle towards all. That passage is pretty plain. What about a situation where a Christian is married to a non-Christian? Going to be certainly some frustrating times there. Peter, 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 4. Once again, doesn't use the word gentleness there, but that is the sentiment. You be gentle to that non-Christian mate. Christians, Paul told the Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, "I want you to clothe yourself. I want you to immerse yourself in some qualities." One of those qualities is gentleness. Gentleness is a great, great quality. And it's a trait, it's a characteristic that is needed by literally every segment of our society. We do not have to look far. Certainly it's abundant in this community where people are often involved with roughness and brutality. But when you have a gentle person, even if people are not religious, that gentleness, which is, as we talked about, associated with strength, will set a child of God apart from everyone else. As we go home this morning, I'd like you to consider a question on the way home. You may not ask anybody that's with you, perhaps if you're a husband, you ask your wife, or you have to ask a friend, but this may just be an internal question. Ask yourself this: am I a gentle person? Do most of the people who have contact with me on a regular basis, or maybe an irregular basis, do they look at me as a gentle person? When we finish up today, And maybe just a few minutes before we go to sleep tonight, ask yourself the question, was I a gentle person today? And then a week from today, next Sunday, reflect back over the days that, Lord willing, we're going to be allowed to live for the next week. And a week from today, ask your question, was I a gentle person for the last 7 days? The Bible talks about gentleness from the standpoint of a kiss, a gentle stream, dealing gently with a child, gentle words, moldable illustrations. It is the path that has been paved by Christ. He was a gentleman and also a gentleman, Matthew 11, verse 29. And he's given us the course. He's given us the directions on how to be that kind of person when we first become a Christian. Faith in Christ. We have to believe. And then we repent. Part of that repentance is going to be gentleness. We confess that we're going to live according to his will. And you know, before we're baptized, we can probably point back to some times and say, I was not gentle. I was rough. I made some mistakes. But thankfully, Christ shed his blood. And through the power of that blood, we can be cleansed when we're baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We can be cleansed of every single wrong, including the times we fail to be gentle. And after we're baptized into Christ, the Bible says we start walking in a new life. And part of that new way of life is gentleness. Elders, yes, they need to be gentle. But that's also true for everybody else. This morning, are we a Christian? And are we showing that fact to others, Christians and non-Christians, by gentleness? Consider that, answer that, and if we can help you with that or something else, let us know about that need as we stand and sing the selected song.